program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
I'm trying to get in the chat. Another Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, I want you to humor me for a minute here. We're going to...
Sure.
Since today is a day of people having surgeries,
Well, we need to pray for them and their families, you know, because it's a very difficult time.
Hang on. It's like this, you know, on my side, I lost second aunt. Well, she's basically, she was older than me, so I always considered her my aunt, but she was one of the last ones, and she passed away the other day, and...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I had a huge crush on her when I was little. I don't know why, but she always treated me good. And then fucker's got to start already. Anyway, the fucking van's out in front too. Anyway, I hadn't seen her for a real, almost maybe 20-something years. And then I seen her at my mom's funeral. She was like, man, I remember when you were a little kid with a bald head and stuff, and I was just laughing. But yeah, that she was one of my favorite relatives, I should say. But I picked a song. I'm going to play this real quick, get this out of the way, and then we'll go for what we talked about earlier.
No, that's fine.
But I need to apologize to everybody and say hello. Thanks for joining me.
Hello, and thanks for joining us.
That's true. That's true.
Because for a while, it's going to be mine and your show.
That's true. But yeah.
So I'll get the cookies ready.
Okay. I have a Cracker Jack.
Oh, Cracker Jack is good.
Yeah, it looked good when I was getting gas. But anyway, let me knock this one out of the way. This one's called Flight of the Angels.
Okay.
We'll be back after this.
Thank you.
Like that song.
Me too.
Yeah, I found that perfectly suiting for what you need to do.
Well, you know, I like the show too, even though there's just three of us now, but you know, it's
that you have a heart?
Yeah, some days it's good, some days it's bad. Some days it's people just got other things to do, so they listen to the archive and stuff, so I get a lot of feedback that everything's good. Keep doing what we're doing, so nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
But,
I understand.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying I understand.
Yeah. And, let's see. So you want to talk about the Bateman Act? Or you want to
go with... That is what I feel about talking about life.
Huh?
No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Or you want to talk...
One quick second here.
Let's talk about how Congress decided to let our employers demand your Facebook password.
Oh, I was going to go with the opposite one, but that's okay. We'll hit that one first. I was just ready to go, and you were just... blew me out of that. Okay. Yeah. And the current.
Well, I had
city,
that one loaded up first. That's my fault. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. Not a biggie. You know, I just have to go between the chat and my between two tabs. In the current state of the U.S. economy, it's getting tougher and tougher to find a job, with an unemployment rate of 8.3%, according to the latest job numbers. Saying yes to a job is a no-brainer. Now, imagine in order to get the job, you must disclose your Facebook password. On Tuesday night, the House Republicans stopped a measure that would have allowed the Federal Communications Commission to prevent employees from forcing potential employees to disclose their Facebook passwords. Republicans who are against big governments, so to say, have delivered a huge blow to legislation that was presented by Democrats. The purpose of the legislation was part of a bill to implement new restrictions to the FCC rules after a series of cases where employers have requested access to social media accounts. Now, what this amendment does is it says you cannot demand as a condition of employment that somebody reveal a confidential password to their Facebook, to their Flickr, to their Twitter, whatever their account may be, said Representative Ed Perlmutter, Democrat out of Colorado. According to a post by Facebook, the company has seen a distressing increase in reports of employers or others seeking to gain inappropriate accesses to people's Facebook profiles or private information. Now, the social media giant added that the practice undermines the privacy expectations and the security of both the user and user's friends. According to Wayne.com, if you want, you can post that in the chat, you know, if somebody wants to check on that. Anthony Giuliano has been keeping a close watch on the growing trend. Giuliano, a social media expert, said it's really not new, but it's getting people's attention because it's controversial. Okay, so here, if you decide, well, I'm going to go apply at Burger King, you know, use this as an example. And, you know, they specify on giving, you know, you have to give this information to us. No. No, there's been huge debate about this because it's not just the privacy of yours in regards to social networking, whatever you're on the sites. It's who is on there as well, your friends, your family, co-workers of any, you know, whatever the case may be. People that you don't know face-to-face, but you know them from online. You know, it interferes with them as well. So it's not just the user themselves. Giuliano also added that he directly hasn't heard of a case, but has confirmed the practice is more common in trades such as law enforcement. Many Facebook users find the notion of giving up their password a violation of their rights to privacy. And Perlmutter agrees if an employer wants to pose or impersonate the individual who's had to turn over their confidential password, that employer, I think, will be able to reach into personal private information from the user. Okay.
Of course.
Which we know that.
They're going to get all your fucking dirt. They're going to find out who your haters
are. You know, how
what you do.
Exactly. You know.
Those pictures.
So, again, it's not a good thing to do here.
No, it's those pictures of you never wanted anybody to see and all kinds of shit.
Like butts or...
Or hugging the bull after a night of drinking and shit, you know, stupid stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, or if you're not drinking or whatever the case may be and your friends are, you know, and pictures are taken, you know, oh, check this out, you know, and then they're going to assume, they're going to jump, and it's crazy, you know, because here we go, it's profiling.
Right. Absolutely.
And, you know, nobody needs a profile. Everybody gets profiled enough. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm
sorry.
No, I can't see that being that you decided to use, well, terms and conditions of Facebook, I mean, if you join it and you're using it, you got to go by the rules, but...
Well, yeah, you know, but unfortunately people do not. And you know what? I think I've told you pretty much one too many times how people have sent me things. It's like, are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah.
You know, and even if you sit there and you're nice about it, or, you know, please don't do this, you know, or you would get a timeout because of what somebody else did. You know, we're not in kindergarten. You know, grow up, get out of damn playpen, and learn to be an adult. You know, the unfortunate thing is there's people all around the world that are saying, oh, I'm just here for you to see me, and I want to share. You know, it doesn't work that way. Oh,
no.
And for the love of God, you know, when people sit there and, oh, you're so hot, or you're so handsome, or you're so beautiful, and then the next thing you know, oh, well, by the way, your photos or your profile excites me or something. Okay, what is wrong with people? Serious?
Yeah.
What's wrong with people? You know, it's a social site. It doesn't say fuck me site. I'm sorry. But I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not on there to get a guy, you know. If I can't do it on my own, that's my issue, you know. But like I said, so many people look at the social sites in regard to, you know.
Well, you know, no matter how hard you try, sometimes you step in it and then you got to deal with it.
Well, yeah, you know. I mean, I've had my share of loony bins and stalkers and everything else, and it's like, okay, you know. I just do things quietly and just poof, they're gone.
Yeah.
And, but what I find to be funny is when they come back, why did you delete me? I don't even respond. Why? If they couldn't figure out the first time, then why come back? You know, and who takes Facebook serious anyways?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do, you know, and I just sit there and I just fart around. I'm here for fun, not to, you know, land anybody or anything like that. It's fun, you know, but what really gets my goat is when people, I know you. No, you don't. You know, rumors.
Exactly.
And rumors are ugly and rumors get spread and crap goes from there. So, you know, like I said, the fortunate thing is Bill, you know, was shot down by 184 to a 236 vote, you know, which is a godsend. But in the same aspect, it woke people up for a minute, you know.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden it was like, they're going to want my password. They're going to want my information. They're going to see what I got to hurry up and clean up my page.
And does the expression
know, or
blow
I
me do
hide
anything?
Things.
And does the expression blow me do anything for you?
No.
That's what I tell them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wasn't sure where you were going with that. That's why I'm like, no. Okay, I'm blind. I'm back. But no, I get that. You know, if somebody sat there and I want your password, I don't think so. I'll break my computer before you get it. You know,
well, it's just like when I started doing this after Bill and I got knocked off AM radio. But when
we're
out of AM radio in Carlsbad. And I'll just tell you right now, don't ever, you can talk about it, but they really don't like you to talk about it. But
I'm not going to talk about what you or Bill.
So when you're told the first time, hey, I told you guys you can't talk about overthrowing a foreign country.
Right.
Well, you know. So a couple of weeks later, you do it again, and then they tell you, well, you guys are done.
Well, you know, like I said, it's a shame because, you know, in so many ways we get censored enough for our privacy rights are gone to so much of a degree. But, you know, to sit there and judge or to sit there and, you know, put things down, well, is it going to make it any better? Is it going to stop it? No.
No.
There's ways to deal with issues at hand. if you can sign petitions, if you can, you know, whatever in that regard, so be it. Do it that way. Be heard that way. You know, it's a name. It's a signature. Okay, well, somebody's paying attention. Somebody wants something to change. And change doesn't happen overnight. We know it. But
no.
Some of these, you know, laws, amendments, whatever, you know, that come into play in between the House, the Congress, and everything else, you know, the majority of them will get shot down. There's a majority of them that don't. You know, it's good and bad. But like I said, thank God Facebook just didn't, you know, it didn't get passed for it. Because look at how many, you know, how many times you see things on walls. You know, that people post, and it's like, oh, I would never say that. You know, and it's like, can you imagine if an employer got on there? And wow, look at how many people would be jobless.
When I started this, I had I think about 3 months into it, I had a beef at work. And the guy I worked for, he knew I was really pissed.
Right.
And he made time to tune in, listen to the show, and he called me on my cell phone and said, you know, I know who you're talking about, but probably other people do too, but I don't mention no names. I said, no,
right.
I'm not going to mention. I said, if you knew who I was talking about, then everybody will know who it is without me saying a name.
Right.
So, yeah, it worked out pretty good. Some people listened and gave the guy shit the next day, which was good. They gave him shit for almost a week.
You know, but how ridiculous is that? Come on. You know,
of course.
So the only way we can get word out is here, through petitions, through paying attention, waking up, you know, try and get everybody else to do the same thing. That's a job. How much would they pay us to do that? And did you know that Facebook is hiring, and they actually pay excellent?
Well, you know,
they have,
you know,
offices everywhere.
There's a new word that's exhaustipated.
Yeah.
You know what that means, don't you?
I know it, and it's just going out of my brain.
It means I'm too tired to give a shit.
Okay. Just like ignoramus.
Yeah.
Mhm. And that was a good one I did last night. I was proud of myself. When I saw that. Yeah, that was good.
But I want to send out condolences to Angel in the Carolinas, her brother or someone close to her passed away. I'm not sure if it's like people say brother or it was a real brother. I didn't get the justice. But I told her she asked me for a Bob Seger song. So I picked this one, and then we'll come back after this. I gotta go answer the door.
No, that's fine.
So if I don't come back, they took me.
Yeah, and I'll just do the show without you, but somebody will have to turn it off on your end.
All right, I'll be ready.
Okay.
On the road again. There I am. bother you, but you just want to explode. Most times you can't hear them talk, other times you can't. That a woman or a man, and you're always outnumbered, you don't dare make a stand. Here I am, on the road again. There I am, up on the stage.
Good song. Another one.
Huh?
It's another good song.
Oh, I thought you said you asked me for another song.
No, I said it's another good song.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Here's another
one. Did you clean your ears today?
No.
Okay. Well, get the potatoes out.
Let me, I got a... They're just going crazy here with the server, and you guys all heard the whole song, right? You didn't hear any step out or nothing like that, no silence.
No.
Okay, good. Let me see if I can fix this thing again so I can jam. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's it for a while.
Is it when I'm on the run?
On the run. They're on the run.
They take it on the run.
That's absolutely. So, okay, the Gang Abatement and Prevention Act.
Should I read or should you?
Oh, no, I'm gonna. Okay, here we go.
Maybe we should read together. You read a line and I read a line. You read, just kidding.
I was looking for the other link, Nora.
Okay. Which link are you looking for? Because I'm right on it.
The link to get to it.
Oh. Well, okay. Just give me 1 second here. Obviously, somebody is having issues.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. I'm just waiting for my computer to have a brain.
Me too.
I know. I hate when this happens. See, you know, before we never had to worry about computers. Everything was paper, pencil, you know. And then computers came, and then all of a sudden it was a mess. Okay. I'm resending it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you have it. Because the copying the link was insane. So it should be right there.
Okay.
Poof.
I didn't get it yet, but
like I said, if you want, I can start off of it and then, you know.
Hey, go ahead, because I'm doing two things at once here.
Well, so am I, but, you know, women know how to multitask and men do not. So give it. Sorry.
Dad.
There's a Gang Abatement and Prevention Act, counterproductive, said unconstitutional. Violent street crime committed by gang members is a serious problem. But turning crimes that are fundamentally local in nature into federal crimes is not the solution. Approximately 95% of U.S. criminal investigations and prosecutions are conducted by law enforcement and state and local levels, not the federal level. Poorly defined, unjustified federal intervention against gang crime will detract from most effective anti-gang strategies available to the state and local officials, who are responsible for the vast majority of anti-gang crime efforts. Okay, here's the thing. Now, they're meaning like prior, if feds weren't able to come in, it was a state and local issue when it came to street gangs. Okay, well, they have gang units. Okay, they have one in the Englewood neighborhood. Okay, that's just a special force task of with the they just deal with gangs. You know, they're police, but that's all they deal with, gangs, gang members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so every state has those. How many there are in the state, I could not approximately tell you that. But they're there. Okay. So now they want to bring the feds in to help or to show the state and locals what to do? Well, gangs have been around for how long now?
Well, that's just like out here. That's like out here in California. They came up with the knife laws, what you can carry and what you can't carry.
Right.
So it's basically what they did was they gave everybody from Sacramento to the border the opportunity to do that so they can raise revenue.
Right. But you know what's ridiculous when we talk about the borders? Let's use this as an example. Say if you're an illegal, you want to come through Cuba, voted to Miami. Are you going to get in? You'll get so far, and then they'll boot you back. Okay.
It's just like if you leave your country now, and you've had a felony, they won't let you back in.
Oh, I know. And if you had a felony, you can't come in if you're from a different country. But okay, now here's a good one. A lot of foreigners can come through Mexico. Ooh. Do you know why? Mexico is very easy to get through.
Yes and no.
Well, it is to certain things.
Okay, when's the last time you were in Mexico?
I've never been there.
That's what I'm saying, okay? Bill and I...
Okay, but my son has driven down a border patrol line, okay, throughout Texas, throughout the southern states because of his job, okay? So when he is on the phone with me, bored to death, because there's nothing to look at, and between, you know, the points, he was stopped within a 10-mile radius 8 times on the same thing by the Border Patrol that he wasn't going to cross. It was just on the main road, okay, that takes you down through. So he could get from point A to point B. How ridiculous is that? Are they that bored? They're supposed to be paying attention to a border, not paying attention to a damn license plate light and a work vehicle. Hello. Okay. But, you know, now border patrols can be shot at, but they can't shoot back. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Now, that's crazy. Why are there border patrol if they can't shoot back?
Yeah, but that's changed a little bit since they killed a couple of guys.
No, not really. In some places, you know, but not in all Obama states. So.
No, but 3 people can keep a secret if 2 are dead.
Exactly. But, you know, now there are some foreign people that would like to come here. They can't. But you know what's wicked? Did you know in some countries, they not only identify you by your fingerprints, but by your eyes?
Yep.
Is that amazing or what?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's just like anything else. If you don't...
Well, I just mean, how necessary is it to do your eyes? Fingerprints are enough. Why do they have to go that extra mile?
Well, because it's just like anything else. They're gonna nail you for... They can get you for anything, really. And
I know.
It's just like I tell people. I pulled up next to a guy today on a motorcycle. He had a vertical plate which was hanging on by one screw. It looked like it was getting ready to fall off.
Right.
And I said, hey, I think you're going to lose your plate. He goes, I saw that. Don't worry about it. Light turns green. I deliberately stayed back a little bit, picked up his plate, and handed it to him at the next light. Told him he might want it horizontally instead of vertical. Why would I do that? Well, because of this, you're going to give him probable cause to pull you over. And
exactly.
If you got shit falling off your bike, you're fucked.
Well, you know, like I said, it's that catch-22, and where do you fall into it? Some people can get through the cracks, and some people cannot. But, you know, in regards to gang crime, you know, it's everywhere. It's worldwide. It's not just here. It's everywhere. But, you know, dealing with the states here, that's one thing. But like I said, each state has a task force, it's a gang task force. It's a special group. Okay.
Yeah, it's an uptight asshole.
Things aren't fully funded or they don't have enough manpower. Okay, hire people. Get them
trained.
Well,
it's just like in New Hampshire, they got one of those new bear caps and $300,000, but we're broke.
Right. Like I said, you know, it's an amazing thing. But, you know, I'm sorry, getting back to The article here, several times in recent Congresses, members of Congress have proposed broad bills that attempt to federalize gang crime and to provide new mechanisms for spending large sums of federal money under federal control to fight gang crime in selected state and local districts. The most recent examples of such legislation, the Senate's Gang Abatement and Prevention Act of 2007, which is S-456, and its counterpart in the House of Representatives, H.R. 1582, would create a host of new federal crime offenses, dramatically increases federal penalties for offenses the bills characterizing as gang crimes, and spend hundreds of millions of dollars in the case of S-456, at least $1.1 billion on new and expanded federal programs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can't wait to hear this one.
I mean, although the current version of the Senate bill states more precisely who can be indicted than its immediate predecessor. The legislation would still invite serious constitutional challenges like its predecessor bills in the Senate and House counterpart. Senate Bill 456 may, in many cases, unconstitutionally attempt to extend Congress's powers beyond the limits of the Commerce Clause, which is number 4. The bill incorporates boilerplate language purporting to establish jurisdiction under the Commerce Clause, but nonetheless disregards most of the constitutional structure underlying the state and federal criminal justice system. So, yeah, you're going to get fucking hammered either way.
You know, the thing is, and here we go. What is their actual look at a gang? Is it a street gang? Well, obviously, okay. Everywhere they've got street gangs. Gangs have been around since when? Well, they actually looked at like the late 40s. I could be wrong on that. But, you know, with how I refer to them as like the slickers, you know, in the 50s and stuff, you know, because they weren't a gang, but they dressed in a leather coat. They slicked their hair back. You know what I mean? And they were, you know, just being individuals where police looked upon them as troublemakers. You know, what? And there you go. They got profiled because of what they wore, what they drove, what they rode, you know, how they talked to people. But they weren't out there bashing anybody's head. They were just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, today it's a whole different ballgame with gangs.
Yeah, and, this is a federal bill, Bobby. If you haven't seen it yet, I can send it to you. Just, or if you want to call in, we'll talk about it too. But, it's...
Who are you talking to?
Bobby.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just like, I looked away from the computer. And I'm like,
no, he's in the chat room.
Well, I see him now. He has to go caps. It's a guy thing.
Killing me, Smalls. Anyway, he's looking for the link.
What link? He has a link? He should have been prepared.
He's looking for the link for this. Let me see. Go ahead, read the next one.
Me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay, let me see if I get to where he left off. Constitutional objections? Did you do that or no?
No.
Okay. Violent street crimes committed by gang members is a problem common in many states, so federal involvement may seem like a good idea. Oh, no, I already read that, I think. sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. In the course of striking down provisions of the Violence Against Women Act of 1994, the Supreme Court in 2000 affirmed the fundamental limits on the legislative power created by the Constitution. Every law enacted by Congress must be based on one or more of its powers enumerated in the Constitution. The powers of the legislator are defined and limited, and that those limits may not be mistaken or forgotten. The Constitution is written, this limitation on Congress's power to legislate is neither arbitrary nor accidental. It was adopted to protect the American people, including those suspected of criminal conduct, from the encroaching power of centralized national government, as the court stated. This constitutionally mandated division of authority was adopted by the framers to ensure protection of our fundamental liberties. To skirt this limitation, the drafters of S-456 attempt to rely on the Commerce Clause to establish Congress's power to assert federal jurisdiction over crimes that are essentially local in nature. Bottle fall within Congress's power to regulate commerce among the several states. A problem must not merely be common to the states, it must be truly interstate in nature and substantially affected interstate commerce. For the reason Congress's power under the Commerce Clause does not include the authority to federalize most non-commercial street crimes, whether or not they have some minor nexus with interstate commerce. Although broader and broader readings of the Commerce Clause during the latter part of the 20th century allowed the federal government to regulate more and more economic activity, the Supreme Court has set limits and rejected several recent attempts to federalize common street crimes, even ones that have some interstate impact. The expansive, in parentheses, many would say virtual unlimited, interpretation of the Commerce Clause employed to justify the creation of most new federal crimes ignores the original meaning of the Constitution. As Justice Thomas wrote in his concurring opinion in United States versus Lopez, if Congress has been given authority over any and every matter that simply affects interstate commerce, most of Article 1, Section 8 would be superfluous, mere surplusus. Sorry. But in Lopez, the Supreme Court rejected the government's cost of crimes. And national productivity rationalizes for asserting federal authority over crime that is essential, local in nature. The government argued that violent crime resulting from the possession of firearms in the vicinity of schools affected interstate commerce by increasing the cost of insurance nationwide and by reducing interstate travel to locals affected by violent crime, number 12, the government further argued that the possession of guns on or near school grounds threatened educational effectiveness, which would reduce productivity of students coming from those schools, which would in turn reduce national productivity, which we know this. The court explained that if it were to accept these attenuated chains of but for reasonings, the limits of congressional power would be I'm stuck.
What?
Ablorated. I was stuck on a word. Kind of looked at it like Congress could regulate any activity that if found was related to economic productivity of individual citizens, family law, including marriage, divorce, child custody, for example. But under these theories, it is difficult to perceive any limitation on federal power, even in areas such as criminal law, enforcement, or education, where states historically have been sovereign. Thus, if we were to accept the government's arguments, we are hard-pressed to post any activity by any individual that Congress is without power to regulate. Congress's recent proposal to create a new set of federal gang crimes have all raised the same constitutional concerns. The drafters of S-456 attempt to take advantage of a similarly broad and erroneous view of Commerce Clause by including findings that gang crimes disrupts communities by reducing property values and inhibiting corporations at transacting businesses, presumably because safety concerns make an area less attractive. In light of recent Supreme Court precedent, this short of lengthy enumerated chain of causation is insufficient to establish federal jurisdiction over local crimes. The bill's drafters have attempted to cure this problem by stating that gang presence, intimidation, and crimes directly and substantially affect interstate and foreign commerce, saying so does not make it so. Such verbiage adds little or nothing to the constitutional analysis. In addition, several other bills' operative provisions limit their own application to criminal street gang activities that occur in or affected interstate or foreign commerce. In an attempt to safeguard the bill from constitutional invalidation in the United States versus Morrison, however, the Supreme Court ruled that this sort of language is not alone sufficient to bring an act within the scope of Congress's commerce power. The regulated act must have been more than some effect on interstate commerce. It must be a substantial one, and the connection between the regulated act and its substantial effect may not be too antenated. But the second, are we going into the Second Amendment violations?
Everything.
Okay. The Second Amendment violations, in addition to the provisions of S-456, the Congress lacks commerce power to enact Section 215 of the bill, raises serious Second Amendment concerns. Section 215 creates two new categories of persons whose Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms would be denied by the federal government. The drastic steps of prohibiting gun ownership is generally saved for those who commit violent crimes that constitute a felony. Its purpose is to keep weapons out of the hands of dangerous criminals. But Section 215 does not distinguish trivial offenses from those serious offenses that may serve as basis for denying an individual's Second Amendment right. The first category consists of persons who are convicted by any court anywhere of a misdemeanor gang-related offense. Persons in this category would be banned from exercising their Second Amendment right for life. The idea of imposing a lifetime ban on the exercise of one's constitutional right for any misdemeanor, even a trivial one, that can somehow be construed to be gang-related should be troubling to any American who believes that all of the rights guaranteed by the Constitution serves as safeguards against tyranny and oppression. Congress is not free to choose which right it deems important and thus will respect, and which it is willing to deny on trivial grounds. The second and perhaps more troubling category created by Section 215 covers any person found to be in contempt, apparently including civil contempt, of a gang injunction order. Gang injunction orders have been some jurisdictions' tool of choice for stiffing gang-related activity and preventing violent street crimes. A typical gang injunction could designate a geographical area, some as large as 6 square miles, in a city or town.
There's about 6 of those in my town, and they can't even if they see him, they arrest him just for that. You know, and then guys think that they're smarter and they sneak into somebody's house in the dark and shit. They already know somebody's gonna find you out. You're gonna get screwed in the end. So you might, if you don't stand up now and you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Well, exactly. But unfortunately, a lot of people do, and that's why we're here, because a lot of people do not understand and know the government's form of writing, you know, when they did the Constitution. How many people actually have sat there and actually read it?
Yeah, exactly. I carry pocket ones that I give out.
Really?
Yeah, they were given to me by John Del Santo. And I asked people, hey, when's the last time you read it? Oh, man, you know, that was in school like 20 years ago. Da, da, da. Well, here, read this.
Right.
Since,
and see, right now, we're going through it, you know, now, which, like I said, when's the last time somebody read it besides school? Because you got to do it twice in school.
I had to do it in a law class. And we had a guy who would take the time to teach us about the laws.
Okay, wake up over there.
I know, no, and I had a long day.
We all do, but I'm not young, and this is the second time you've done this. Sorry.
You know, I've been up since 2:30 this morning. But anyway,
okay.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's like I said before, they came up with this thing in California, they call it the Step Act, and then they got these other things. And if three of us are standing on the corner and we're all wearing support shirts, and the guy gets on his phone and he calls the sergeant and says, "Hey, I think these guys are up to no good," da 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 da, boom.
Right.
You know, now the three of us are pegged, and then they'll start following and doing stupid shit like they always do. You know, it's like I said the other day, Bill had some guys from a certain club show up at the shop, and they had a tail, and one parked on the side, one parked in the front, and as they approached the door, Bill headed them off and said, "Look, if you guys are here to talk about motorcycles, that's fine, but if you're here to bother those two guys that just came in here, this is sanctuary. Won't be allowed."
Right. Wow. But, you know, it just doesn't cover that. It also covers people, you know, that have sleeves, front and back, legs, whatever, attached.
Exactly.
Okay. So profiling isn't just because you wear something support. Profiling could be for your tats. Profiling could be for the type of car you drive, your race, your sex. You know, I mean, it just goes on. Okay, it's just more predominant with certain things than others. But the minor ones, how I look at it in regards to the kind of car you drive, okay, you don't hear about that as much as you do. And if you see three guys standing outside of a store or a bank and they've got full sleeves, okay, and they've got their head shaved or they have a mustache, whatever, okay, but they're just standing there talking, because they just came out of the bank. And here comes, you know, a cop just going to roll up. Well, guess what? What are you guys doing standing here? Who are you? Let me see some ID.
Mm-hmm.
For what? We're not doing anything. But they have tats.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just like when they pull, you know, I was coming home yesterday, and I got on the freeway by, I got off to get gas at Mission Bay by the San Diego Zoo, and then I got back on the freeway, and as I was in the left turn lane, a big-ass Suburban pulled up behind me. Had all these things sticking out of the roof, and all the windows were dark, you know, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm trying to read the license plate, and it said HLS.
Okay.
It said Department of HLS, Homeland Security. They followed me all the way to Oceanside.
Yeah, but you have Homeland Security follows you. It's crazy.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, they got up next to me on the side, and I looked up. I looked out of the corner of my eye and I could see the camera on the roof. So basically what I think these guys were doing was driving down the freeway, snapping pictures of license plates.
Like I said, some of them, I've never seen one of them yet.
I didn't, security.
So I guess you're going to have to take a vacation.
Yeah,
and,
but I mean,
you know, a short one, come out here and so I can see what they look like.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I get followed all the time, but that's the first time I've seen them openly do it the way they were doing it.
Well, you know, I'm just at loss because, you know, they're going to do whatever they do. That's the bottom line. It doesn't matter. If you know anything or not, you could be just regular Joe Schmo, or you could be, you know, an ex-president, or not president, but like an ex-mayor of a town, you know. You're pegged, no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's why it annoys me with profiling. They profile way too much.
Oh, of course. It's just like everything. You know, it's like that kid I told, hey, you might want to fix your license plate. Basically, he's a young kid, and he basically is like telling me, yeah, fuck that, you know. I don't have to worry about that. And then he gave me a funny look when I told him, well, you're giving him all probable cause to pull your ass over. Huh? Oh, now he wanted to listen to me, you know.
Right. Well, like I said, you know, the world has just resulted to profiling and putting people in areas, or I'm saying that nice, putting them in designated areas of who's who or who's to watch or who's not to watch, you know. And you know how that bill is in regards to if you stockpile food or water or something, you're considered a terrorist?
Well, if you got 2 weeks' worth of food in your house, you're a terrorist.
Right.
If you've got waterproof ammunition, you're a terrorist.
Right. But this is what I'm talking about. Now, I saw it earlier on the news, okay? Because you know how they've said for eons that California is eventually going to get that huge earthquake that will just take it off, so to say, okay? The worst earthquake is to hit California. At some point, nobody knows when, but the big one's coming. So they were actually talking about how some people are going and doing their rations in regards to water, certain canned foods, you know. So if something happened, they're going to be okay for 3 days, if necessary, alone, okay, before help gets to them. So as I'm watching this on TV and seeing how people are pushing cards, stacked ones with water and ones with other stuff, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, it's a terrorist. That's a terrorist. That's a terrorist. even though they're preparing for, you know, what is supposed to be a multi-magnitude earthquake that will hit the West Coast at some point.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been here 25 years, and I've been hearing the big one's coming.
And one day it will. We may be here, we may not be. One day, well, I don't know. We get them here. You've been in this state. Did you ever feel the little rattle, the shake?
Yeah.
We don't get them like you do. But, you know, two winters ago, this was amazing. I was just flabbergasted. You know, we're in the middle of a snowstorm. It's a warm one. You know what I mean? So it's a wet, heavy snow.
Right.
And I'm sure you remember what that feels like, or even being it. So you have a warm temperature. You have a major winter snowstorm coming. Then you get thunder snow. I always like that. And then we have a 4.3 earthquake all at once.
Mm-hmm.
All we needed was just a tornado. We would have covered everything in one day.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, it does happen, you know, because people will be like, wow, we could feel it all the way over here. I'm like, oh, my God, it was just so little. I didn't even know it. You know? And sometimes you feel a little movement. But I always know because my dog acts funny. I know. It's the way she is. One night I slept through one, and she was, it's just how the animals react.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, like I said, in regards to street gangs, well, we know by the Constitution in regards to why they profile. Because it states so in the Constitution. If you've done something to have a felony, you're profiled.
Uh-huh.
If you buy too much food, you're profiled. You're not considered in the gang, but you're profiled.
Yeah, exactly.
If you ride a motorcycle, you're profiled. If you walk on the sidewalk a certain way, you're profiled. If, you know, I saw today, I was just amazed. I was just amazed. You know, there was a biker that got pulled over right across from my house, you know, just where they were pulling off to the side road, you know, around the corner to get off the main road. And, you know, next thing you know, I watch the cop, you know, he gets out and he goes to walk towards the bike while the guy takes off. And the female on the back, you see her arm flipping up and everything. I'm like, oh, geez. Wow, this is something. And, you know, eventually the bike came back and, you know, was right next to the squad car. And, you know, the cop at that point was sitting in his car. And it was just the men talking, you know. The woman was contained. She didn't go screaming or, you know, waving her arm like she did prior. And it was interesting. He didn't get a ticket, whatever it was. He rolled away from it. But that's how they are in the town I'm in. They may get pulled over, you know, here and there. But I have never, in all the years I've been here, have never, ever seen one get a ticket. Have not ever seen one get their bike towed. Nothing.
Well, okay, I'm glad you touched on that because I'd like to tell you. This is one thing I want to tell you. If you ever get pulled over on your bike and you're going to jail, you better have somebody that you designated to be able to get your bike out. In other words, they have power of attorney to come in if they... Now, California, it's a gray area depending on your attitude. The cop will allow you time to let somebody come and take your bike home or...
Right.
They're going to tow it. So
right.
Either way, you have to have somebody that designated to be able to do that for you so you don't lose it.
Okay, now, example in regards to what you're meaning is, say if you get pulled over and nobody's with you, but you have the authority, say, to Bill, you know, where you could call Bill and say, okay, before they tow my bike, can you come and get it?
Correct.
So as long as he has to have written authority to where he can do that, or mm-hmm. he just has to have your say, your approval.
Right.
No, which one is it? Does he have to have a written approval from you or verbal?
No, it has to be written. It has
okay.
to be, it has to be somewhere written down. And usually you can keep that piece of paper with your registration and your insurance, because
right.
I have mine. And by the way, Bill is able to go and do that for me if it does happen that way.
Right. Well, I just use that as an example. Right.
That's, but it has to be written down. It has to be dated. If you wanted to go as far as to have it notarized, you could do that too. But
something notarized doesn't cost a lot. But you know, sometimes you got all bases covered. If somebody was anal enough to sit there and say, well, that's not notarized, so it means nothing. It's just a piece of paper, you know. So like I said. I mean, my notary guy only charges like $2. So, you know, if you need to spend $2, poof, it's done and it's legit. They can't do anything.
No,
except
they can't.
Most of them go for a year, you know, and then you just update it, you know, before it expires out. So
yeah, because Bobby's in the chat room and he says non-com has a form they pass out at meetings. I haven't seen that form yet. I just got mine written on a piece of legal paper.
Okay.
And Bill has
but,
that.
I mean, worst case scenario, you've got yours already set up and designated. So if something comes up, you got where things are going to go. And see, I wouldn't have known that. I've never owned a bike, you know,
yeah.
So...
Same thing.
Anytime I was on a bike, we were not. Well, no, I take that back. No, we weren't pulled over. No, there was an accident. I was involved in an accident on one, but we were never pulled over. But like I said, you know, that's something that needs to be said out there too, because a lot of people wouldn't know that. You know,
yeah.
But like I said, being in the town that I'm in, I have never, ever, ever. I mean, it's very rare when they stop a biker here. Very rare. But it's at the end of the month. So they get anal, you know. They just want to get their stars in before the first of the month. So, you know.
Well, it's just like when I'm told that they don't have a quota, but the cops tell me they do and their bosses tell me they don't. So who's lying?
Well, actually, they do have a quota.
You're fucking right they do.
Because, you know, there was a cop that I knew that was in the Englewood neighborhood, okay? And, yes, they do have a quota.
Yeah. Well, my cousin is he's a captain, and I think he's got the Englewood area over there.
Yeah. The Englewood area is not nice. I mean, it's not even great during the day, but you're safer during the day than at nighttime.
Yeah, but
if you're white, you're just rolling right through. Don't stop. You know,
well, we just had Mike from Sifu Mike from Oregon. He just joined us right now. And I noticed I'm going to give some people a shout-out here because I noticed they're in the, you know, like Bobby's here from Northern California. Kat's here from Canada.
Canada.
Nora's here from Chicago. And Nora, in Chicago, there's a guy, his name is Terry Hardy, and he has a program, it's called The World of Soul Motorcycles.
Okay.
He's also joining us tonight.
Okay.
We had Bergler from Tennessee, but sometimes he dips a little while he's listening, and he forgets, and he disappears. So,
that's okay. That happens. You know, it's like, poof, 1 minute you're here, poof, you're gone.
Exactly.
And then, you know, may come back or just may, poof, be gone till the next show. It's okay. Everybody knows where you're at.
I tell you, I don't hide from anybody.
I don't hide from anybody. I have nothing to hide from.
No.
And even if I did, I still wouldn't hide. That's just not me.
No, not me either. But, yeah, to get back to that, the destructive effects of the over-federalization, even though Senate Bill 456 is yet another example of Congress's habit of expanding federal crime law in response to cure of all society ills, the phenomenon over federalization of crime undermines state and local accountability for law enforcement. There you go. See? Undermines state and local accountability.
Right.
Undermines cooperative and creative efforts to fight crime, which permits the states to carry out their vital roles acting as laboratories of democracy. What a crock of shit that is. And injures America's federal system of government. Although 456 in its findings section purports to recognize the crime-fighting expertise and effectiveness of local authorities. Oh, by the way, if I don't get anything in the chat room or anything right now, I'm looking at another screen and I have another screen pulled up. I'm watching this.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep the clowns at bay here. But anyway.
Oh, I didn't know. I closed out. I thought you weren't there. Okay.
It would further erode state and local law enforcement's primary role in combating common street crime. The findings state that because state and local prosecutors and law enforcement officers have the expertise, experience, and connection to the community that is needed to assist in combating gang violence, consultation and coordination among state, local, and federal law enforcement is crucial. So basically, a lot of these towns, when another program shows up where they're going to take over, they don't work together.
Right.
They never have and they never fucking will. Everybody has their own agendas.
Yes, they do. You know, and they have their own ways of looking at things.
Right, because this bill characterizes the programs. Characterizes means that gives them leeway whichever way they want to go.
Exactly.
It would establish such as the federal state working groups that would be part of the newly created high-intensity gang activity areas. As it attempts to create collaboration. So, bang, that's where it gets tricky because, like I said, if three guys are standing on the corner, now all of a sudden we're a high-intensity gang activity area. But nonetheless, this bill would reduce the effectiveness and success of local prosecutors and law enforcement. Whenever state and local officials can blame failures to effectively prosecute crime on federal officials and vice versa, accountability and responsibility are diluted, although this is sometimes unavoidable for the limited set of crimes for which there is truly overlapping state and federal jurisdiction, unclear lines of accountability for wholly interstate crimes are unacceptable.
Well, yeah, but there is their niche where they can profile right there.
Yeah. I got somebody who's got, he's got a burning desire to speak. Which, by the way, Mike, happy belated birthday, my brother.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Hey,
yes, we can.
Well,
happy belated birthday.
I wanted to give a shout out and give my love to Bill for his wife. And, we're all there for him. It's really sad. You know, diabetes hits a lot of people and I just wanted to call in before I teach here. I got to get ready to go teach again and make
sure.
Are
you teaching the little kids or the big little kids?
Nah, I got the big kids right now. They're up there. I got them. I got them up there doing their exercises and whatnot. And so,
okay.
Anyways, you know, it's sad to me to hear that shit. I fucking hate it. And so just tell Bill, would you, for me I really, really appreciate that, Phil, and that's pretty much it. I just wanted to call in and before I had to get up there and teach.
I appreciate that, man. I will pass that message on. Bill's not here tonight because his wife had surgery yesterday, and she lost her foot. And
if I could, you know, say one thing, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, if diabetes is a hard thing to deal with, but if somebody can just get control of diet, is such a huge thing. And if anybody has any issues or wants help with that, you know, man, they can always send me a message. And you know, I got a couple different things that I can help them with on that. And so,
are you diabetic, or do you just do like a form for people with diabetes? If
well,
you don't
no,
mind me asking.
I've been in the gym my whole life, you know. So there's a lot of things from diet programs, from meal replacements, to you name it. There's a lot of different exercise in itself. I mean, there's just a lot of things, a way to control the insulin levels in your body, and you know.
Do you by any chance have like a link or something that you could share with us, unless a fellow already has it?
If somebody hears me on here and just say you heard me on the show. And or say you're a friend of Phil's, just friend request me on Facebook and just message me.
Okay.
And it's just see through Mike Mather. And,
well,
Mike.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I know who you. Okay, no, because my friend Mike has diabetes really bad between you and I. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And you were on my page before.
You and I and everybody.
Nora.
Yes.
How you doing, kiddo?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good. Well,
I didn't know that you were diabetic. Okay, but
no,
my
I'm
friend
not,
Mike.
I'm not diabetic at all.
But about it. Okay.
But I know a lot about it. I have a lot of friends that helped with it. Matter of fact, one of the brothers that helped with it just and set
he's
him
in
up
my
on
state.
What's
yeah,
that?
And another one's in my state. Yeah, because
yeah.
I know exactly
yeah.
who you're talking about because I talk to him all the time.
Exactly, and matter of fact,
and he told me he feels so much better. Oh, so whatever it is, it's helping him.
So,
Nora,
anyways, I got to get up and teach. You guys, good to talk to you, Nora. And hey,
yeah, I'll come and request you back because there's a friend of mine. You're on his page, and he needs some help, and he's not listening to me. He's being a bullhead.
Yeah, and tell him to message me and. Make sure you guys give my love out to Bill and Phil.
I will.
Take care of me. And I'm going to be drunker than 50 Indians from tomorrow on this weekend because it's my 40th. So
happy 40th!
Thanks. So you guys all take care. I got to go.
Okay.
All right, you too, man.
Bye bye.
All right, Nora. Let me get this out of the way here. I got something I got to do.
No, that's okay.
I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back. So, Laura.
Are we playing him at bay for a minute?
Are we what?
Did we put him at bay for a minute?
Yeah. Got him going.
Good.
But to get back to that now, nonetheless, the bill would reduce the effectiveness and the success of the local prosecutors and law enforcement. So whenever the officials can blame the failures to prosecute on federal officials and vice versa, accountability and responsibility are diluted. Although this is sometimes unavoidable for the limited set of crimes which are truly overlapping state and federal jurisdiction, uncut lines of accountability for wholly interstate crimes are unacceptable. And I got this thing the other day about the RICO, and this was out of Massachusetts in Boston. And let me see
okay.
if I can find it real quick. Let's see.
I was going to say, I don't have that one.
I got it, but right now, U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz, this is RICO charges and probation scandals for a debate. But the U.S. Attorney, her name is Carmen Ortiz, she's brandishing of the RICO laws, a powerful federal weapon used to crush mobsters and violent motorcycle gangs, to prosecute former state officials in the probation department for knowing no-towing or kowtowing to legislators' patronage demands, has triggered a debate that some predict could be headed for the U.S. Supreme Court. Whether traditional politics in Massachusetts rises to the level of racketeering and a potential 20 years behind bars. But there's a commissioner in Commissioner John Jack O'Brien, Elizabeth Tavares, and William H. Burke were charged with racketeering and mail fraud, and federal indictments unsealed Friday that accused them of operating a rigged, decade-long patronage hiring and promotion scheme to keep happy the politicians on Beacon Hill in charge of the money. Well, that sounds like Chicago, don't it, Nora?
Yes, it does. Time to make the donuts.
The indictment speaks for itself. Ortiz's office said in a statement yesterday, declining to commit further, but O'Brien's attorney, Flavin, said, to suggest that these three individuals were operating a criminal enterprise because recommendations were made for employment, this is a culture. Where there's money in an envelope and a handshake, that's where patronage is illegal. Man, I've seen that because when I was a kid, they used to put $5 in an envelope and I passed them out on voting day. Tavares' attorney, R. Bradford Bailey, because my dad had a patronage job in Chicago, but R. Bradford Bailey vowed that he will go to trial. We're going to challenge the government every step of the way on their theory of prosecution, he said. Decrying the charges against O'Brien and his two top deputies, the fraud of public Cambridge constitutional lawyer Harvey Silvergate, who is not involved in the case, predicted yesterday the explosive case eventually will land before the Supreme Court justice, who will have to draw a line in the sand between politics and crime. So that'll be setting the precedent here somewhere. But he told the Herald that the idea of parsing politicians for favors, I'm sure, goes back to George Washington. Guess what the solution is? The voters. Racketeer Influence and Corruption Act, Organizations Act of 1970, was first used to attack organized crime syndicates such as the Mafia by taking out their leaders. With significantly enhanced sentences and forfeiture penalties, Silvergate said RICO has the chilling effect of pushing innocent people to cop plea deals. And that's basically all it is. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big you think your balls are. When you're handcuffed in that fucking chair, you have a whole different outlook on how you're going to handle what the fuck's going on because somebody's going to take away your freedom.
Right.
I don't care who you are. I don't care how big you are. You can say you won't do it.
How you are, whatever.
Until you're blue in the face, everybody fucking freaks out at that point. And like you say, Nora, if you want to know what it is to be in an 8x10 room all day, well, lock yourself in the bathroom and sit there.
Yeah.
The University of Notre Dame professor, Robert Blakely, a former federal prosecutor, is a leading authority on RICO. He said he has a bumper sticker, fight organized crime, don't reelect anyone. I like that. His bumper sticker says, fight organized crime, don't reelect anyone. But he said political corruption is what RICO is used to prosecute most, followed by drugs and fraud in the private sector. The statute applies to any person, Blakely said, as a general matter, jurors aren't going to think it's overreaching. Each and every one of them knows how corrupt your politicians are, and they know they're going to have a chance to stand up and be counted on. Absolutely true.
Okay. You know, I don't know if they showed it by you, real quick, but here they had on the news in regards to one of the senators had a hoodie on.
Right.
Okay. Now, it was a different colored hoodie. Now, he did this for a reason, okay, in Washington. And he actually got stopped. Ms. Tuckham thought he was flying gang colors.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he sat there and he said, I just made a point on being profiled. And look at who I am.
Right.
So he was publicly out there trying to make a point. And made sure the media got it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't know if you saw, you may remember the name, you may not, Bobby Rush out of Chicago here. Okay.
Yeah.
He was the one that was sporting the hoodie. Now, there was no symbols, it was a color. It was a different color. But they profiled him. From the back, as gang.
Well, you know, I wear a hoodie. I wear a black hoodie.
Black ones, red ones, you know.
But the one I wear is basically Mike, who was on the phone earlier, gave it to me. But the front of it says,
"Yeah, I want to get one of his." Sorry.
It says feel the pain. Bill has
right.
one also. Bill's mad because he got a pullover and mine zips up. But,
I don't mind. I like either one.
Exactly. I would, you know, the only reason I would have swapped with...
A hoodie.
Yeah, I would have swapped with Bill, but it's two sizes bigger than me. But anyway, I wear a large, he wears a double X. But, and a lot of times, I'll get off my bike, I'll take off my jacket, my leather jacket, but I'll leave the hoodie on, and I always
right.
put the hood up. And I was walking from my bike, which is by the commissary, to Pier 13 to go up on the Lake Champlain. It's a mini destroyer.
Right.
And I got stopped by the federal police on the base and asked me for my identification because I looked suspicious. I said, well, at 2:30 in the morning, everybody walking around here looks suspicious.
You know, now that's sad.
Yeah, then the guy asked...
At your job, and you get stopped.
Yeah. Then the guy asked me if I had anything to drink. I said no.
Why do they automatically assume you're drunk or on drugs? What is wrong with people?
I have no clue. That's what makes me laugh.
I don't know. I was profiled as being an alcoholic, and I don't drink, so, you know, gotta love it. Just because the neighbors drank at the time. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's categorize and profile, you know. They're all drunks. Yeah. Good luck with that. You know, like I said, Bobby Rush went to make a point, and he made a point, and he made sure that media was all over it.
Exactly. Well,
it goes to show. You
exactly.
know, they didn't even know who he was, and they profiled him as flying gang colors.
Exactly. And hello, Susie. Thanks for joining us. Tell Keith, sorry you had to go to work, but sometimes you got to pay the bills. But, yeah, if we could, because to me, you know, I've heard that I've got a couple of videos, and I got some stories where the cops are the biggest blue gang out there. And
Oh, I posted those and seen those. Oh, I was just appalled.
I'm telling you, they do more shit than anybody and get away with it. There's, you know, that blue wall.
Because they have a badge. And I'm not being mean or rude or disrespectful, but, you know, there are good cops and there's not good cops.
Right.
We all know it. It's everywhere, you know. And the thing is, the longer they're in the force sometimes, the colder they get, they don't want, if somebody is being honest with them, they don't care. They don't want to hear it.
No.
You know,
yeah,
they want you to admit they're doing something, you know, that you didn't do or partake.
anything you say can and will be used against you, period.
Exactly. I know. I mean, I was involved in a situation once. I had nothing to do with it, but they looked at me. Why? Because I was the closest thing. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and do you know how many times in a day they hear that same crap?
Yeah. Well,
I got
one for you.
Okay.
There's a neighborhood bar in our town, and it gets frequented by everybody.
Okay.
One night,
everybody knows everybody bar. Yeah.
Right. One night is probably a couple of guys from this club. The next night is a couple of guys from another club. Da 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 da.
Right.
Anyway, one night some shit went down and two guys beat the hell out of a guy.
Right.
The guy happened to be in another club, and he got accused of being somebody he wasn't, and he beat the shit out of him.
Right.
So the next day, the guys from his club came to talk to Bill and me and asked us if we would get involved, because all the guy wanted to get was his stuff paid for, and that was
right.
It, the stuff he lost, that they broke. And Bill and I made a couple of phone calls here and there, and then, you know, we got threatened with witness tampering.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, how far are these guys reaching? Because some guy came in and asked a couple questions. That's
right.
Witness tampering. But yeah, they're fucked up.
I know. Like I said, it just amazes me. You know, when I see it, or when I've witnessed it, it's scary. You know, like I said, in the situation that I could have been placed in, I was just caught off guard, you know. But, I mean, the godsend is I was the town cops here, you know, so they knew me. I wasn't, and that was the godsend. If I could have been in any other town, I don't know. And that's the honest to God's truth. You know, which is sad. And it's like, look, you know, I have proof, you know. No, we know. Everything's fine. You know, but it's just knowing when they have to ask questions, you know, because there are certain things that were involved, you know. I can't go into specifics, but, you know, like I said, unfortunately, certain objects of my brother's were involved, and, you know, we need to speak with your brother. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't. He passed away, you know. And I said, well, these are his belongings, which, you know, when he passed, they're mine now. What takes place with this? Well, we have to confiscate them. Why? I didn't do nothing. But it's my property.
Yeah.
You know, well, we have to take it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, yeah.
Here, I got something for you.
Okay.
Let me see if this loads up. This is an inquisitive alien visits the planet to check on our progress as a species. He gets into a conversation with the first person he meets.
Hey, an alien. Yes, I've traveled across space to check on the progress of your species.
Cool. Shall I take you to our leader?
Your what?
Our leader, the guy in charge.
The guy in charge of what?
Well, in charge of everything.
You have one guy in charge of everything?
No, he's in charge of government.
What is government?
Well, government makes the rules for us. It tells us what we can do and what we can't do.
So is government really smart? They come up with wise rules for you to follow?
Well, mostly. But some of its rules are really stupid.
Do you disregard those rules?
No, we have to follow the rules, even if they are stupid or we disagree with them. Government punishes anyone who disobeys the rules.
So you are slaves to government?
No, it's not like that at all. Government works for us, the people. It serves us, We're the boss. It tells you what to do, and it punishes you with violence if you disobey it, and yet you're its boss? Yeah. But there are some things government does that you don't like.
Well, yeah, not everything government does is popular. Like spending on wars, for example.
What is a war?
It's when government basically spends the people's money on weapons and soldiers and then sends them over to the other side of the world to kill a bunch of people over there and destroy their country. I don't like it that government does this.
Well, I can see why you might not like that. Have you humans reached the stage where you generally consider stealing, enslaving, and killing each other to be bad things?
Oh yeah, we know that. Don't steal, don't attack, don't assault.
But you give money to government and they use it to kill people.
Well, yeah. But government does good things with tax money as well.
Why don't you stop paying for the things you don't like and only pay for the good things it does?
No, we can't do that. You can't just decide to stop paying taxes because the rules say that everyone has to pay taxes.
But the rules come from government, though, don't they?
Yeah.
So government made a rule which says that everyone has to pay them money. So everyone pays taxes because if they didn't, government would punish them using violence?
Well, yes, but most people don't mind paying taxes. Most people feel obligated to pay taxes and obey government laws because it's for the good of society. Society needs government, and that means we all have to pay taxes.
So just to make sure I've got this straight, government makes the rules and you feel obligated to follow the rules, even the ones you don't like, and it tells you what to do and threatens to punish you if you don't do what it says, and it uses some of the money that it's taken from you using threats of violence to pay for things you don't like and actually think are immoral, like mass murder.
Yeah, but we can ask it to please tell us to do smart things. And please don't take our money and use it to kill people. We're allowed to ask them to tell us to do what we want them to tell us to do.
Are you guys just scared of this thing? Is government some huge monster that can just squish you at any moment if you disobey?
No, government isn't a monster.
Well, what is it then? Could you draw me a picture of it?
Government isn't really the sort of thing you can draw a picture of.
Maybe you could take me to it. Where is government?
You mean the building?
Government is a building?
No, but the politicians who make up the government have buildings they work from.
So government is a group of these politicians?
Yeah.
Okay, so what species are these politicians?
Well, they're human.
Like you?
Yeah.
So politicians are humans, and they're government. You're a human, but you're not government.
No.
So it's the politicians, they're the ones that boss the rest of you around and make you do things you don't want to do and take your money using threats of violence. But even though you're all humans, you're not allowed to boss them around and take their money?
No, they'd put us in a cage if we did that. But look, it's not like the politicians can just do whatever they want. Like, a politician can't just come up to me on the street and make me give him money. They can't do that. Politicians can only do things like that in their job, when they're working for government.
Well, so politicians aren't government. They just work for government. Okay, so government isn't a monster, and it isn't a building, and it's not politicians, it's something else. And it employs politicians, who are just regular humans, who get to order everyone else around and take their money. How
How does a regular human become a politician?
Well, that's the great thing about our government. It's a democracy, and that means that the people actually have the power, because we get to decide who among us get to be the politicians. We get to vote. And if a politician starts doing things we don't like, we can just replace him with someone else at the next election.
So the people that get chosen to be politicians only get to boss people around and take their money for a short time, and then they go back to being regular humans?
Exactly.
That sounds like a powerful position to be in. But if you get to choose who does that, I assume that politicians are always the wisest, most honest, caring and respected people among you.
Well, no, not really. I wouldn't say politicians are known for being honest, or wise, or caring. And they're certainly not the most respected people among us. Come to think of it, most politicians are lying, power-hungry crooks.
The ones you chose?
Yeah, they're always doing things we don't like. They use taxpayers' money to enrich themselves and their friends, and they never keep their promises to voters. They've been caught stealing and lying and taking bribes, and they mostly do what the big corporations want. Yeah, they're always doing stuff like that. They're completely corrupt. They're a bunch of lying crooks.
But you said that most humans know that stealing and beating each other up and killing are wrong. And you said that you have the power because you can change who's in charge. So why don't you just replace the lying, thieving, murderous, crooked politicians with some regular people?
Well, we don't try to elect lying crooks. It just always turns out that way. But we have to have a government because some humans are nasty and might kill or enslave or steal. Civilization just couldn't survive without government.
Let me get this straight. Because you're worried about the small number of nasty people that are willing to kill, enslave and steal, you think it's necessary for your survival to have a system where some humans among you, for a short while, get to call themselves the government, and they get to order everyone else around like slaves, and if they want, commit mass murder overseas, using money they stole, using threats of violence. Politicians get to kill, enslave, and steal, because if they didn't, someone else might. And you try to elect good, honest people to be politicians, but what happens every time is that the people you elect turn out to be corrupt, evil, lying crooks. That's your system.
Yeah, that's pretty much government.
Well, I stand to that one, but what do you think? What do you think about that, Nora? Another planet, they think we're fucked up.
Yeah, I know. There's just so many ways you can go there. But that, it needs a lot of work.
Yeah,
a lot of work. And unfortunately, we've talked about this before. It's not going to change overnight. It takes the steps to get there, and some will improve and some just won't, and some will exceed to a ultimate unbelievable point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then, like, where do we go from there, you know?
And when it gets to that unbelievable point, we can't go anywhere. Because everything just got so overrode, they won't change it.
No. So right now we're down to about a minute and a half. I'm going to take us out with this song. I think this song is appropriate. It's called Going Nowhere Fast. And let this take us out, but I encourage everybody to come back on Tuesday. And anybody wants to call in, Bobby, if you want to call in Tuesday and you got a topic or something you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. Terry, if you want to call in and talk, everybody's more than welcome to call in and talk to me at any time. We'll give you all the time you need on the mic. And we'll open up the phone lines and we'll see how it goes. But right now I'm gonna take us out with this song. It's called Nowhere to Run, or I'm sorry, Nowhere to Hide. And I'll see you later.
Good night.